Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. And this evening we'll talk about what else? The World Cup Brazil 2014. And with us tonight is my colleague, Sunny Young, host of the Sunny Side of Sports. Sunny, welcome to the show.
Sporty greetings, Douglas, and World Cup greetings to all our Reporters Roundtable listeners.
Thank you. Also joining us is another colleague, Segun on the dot at DMA. Segun is VOA's Nightline Africa's sports correspondent. He joins us by phone from the Nigerian commercial capital, Lagos. Hello, Segun.
A very good evening to you, Douglas, and to all our listeners.
Thank you. How is Lagos?
Lagos is cool today, Douglas.
Thank you very much. Yes, gentlemen, once again, welcome to Reporters Roundtable. We are now at halfway point, Sunny, of the World Cup 2014. Currently, there are too much is going on. Very exciting, both of them. But let's get that one a bit later. First of all, Sunny, you were in South Africa 4 years ago. Comparison at this point in time, the standard of soccer so far played.
I think overall, Douglas, we've seen a higher standard of play in Brazil, especially in terms of the goal scoring. I think we're seeing a lot more goals being scored in Brazil, some spectacular goals.
Yes.
We can talk about them, but I don't remember the number of goals in South Africa being scored at such a rate. And maybe Segun can address that, what he thinks. But I think in terms of attacking football, we're seeing better football in Brazil.
I see, Segun, you take a flair, brilliance, goal scoring comparison.
Yes, Sonny is right in terms of attacking football, which has resulted in more goals right here at the World Cup in Brazil. But what I'm actually concerned about more is how Africa has performed between 2010 and 2014. I know that a lot of matches are still on, and it's probably too early to address that. But I just want to remind our listeners that only one of the six African teams that featured in South Africa in 2010 made it to the quarterfinals, and that's Ghana. And right now, only one team has made it to the second round. So we are still waiting and watching, and events of the next few days will tell us how this World Cup has gone ahead as compared to the 2010 World Cup, as far as Africa is concerned.
That's a good point that Segun brings up, Douglas. If you look at the history books at the World Cup, never before have two African teams reached the knockout stages at the same World Cup. I know we saw Ghana reach the quarterfinals in 2010, Senegal in 2002, and Cameroon. Cameroon was the first African team to reach the quarterfinals, 1990. But we've never seen two, and so I'm keeping my fingers crossed right now that maybe another African team can join the Super Eagles of Nigeria in the round of 16, and there's still hope. We're going to talk about that a little later.
That would be a big boost. But still talking on Africa, Segun, give us feedback from Nigeria there. Nigeria eventually made it, and many people had high hopes in other teams like Cote d'Ivoire, like Cameroon. But Nigeria were the first to go to the round of 16.
Well, the Nigerian players celebrated yesterday, and they have actually beaten Argentina in the last Group F match. Nigeria lost 3-2 to Argentina in that match. However, the celebrations here belied that result. You would think that Nigeria actually won the match. Why? Because this is the first time in 16 years, that is dating back to 1998 World Cup in France, that Nigeria is making it through to the second round. And so it's a big deal here. We'll discuss more about that, I'm sure, as we go on. But there was a lot of celebrations there. People were quite delighted that the team, you know, after drawing with Iran, I mean, that was not the kind of result that Nigerians wanted. Nigerians had hoped that Nigeria would have, the Super Eagles would have beaten Iran with at least 3-0.
That's right.
Then it was a goalless draw, and nobody was quite happy with that. Then the team rebounded to beat Bosnia, and then there was all the permutation about if you beat this team, you beat that one, you qualify. Well, Bosnia beat Iran, and Nigeria lost to Argentina. They still advanced to the second round, and people here are quite delighted. Unfortunately, the celebrations have been tempered by the blast that occurred in Abuja, the capital city, on Wednesday, in which 21 people died. That actually pushed the World Cup off the headlines today in the newspapers.
I see.
And tempered the celebration. That is it.
Yes.
Segun, what's been the reaction in Nigeria to the performance by the Argentine star Lionel Messi against the Super Eagles? He had a brace to lead Argentina to that 3-2 victory. Vincent Enyema has been very solid in front of the nets for the Super Eagles, and yet I don't know that any goalkeeper could have stopped Messi on Wednesday. Segun, your thoughts on Messi?
I think Messi has been a thorn in our flesh, and yes, when he turned on the magic on Wednesday, when Messi turned on his magic, it made all the difference. Even for a goalkeeper like Yama, who has been simply outstanding, and up to that point had not considered any goal. And then Messi came from nowhere, and then everything changed. Unfortunately, the Super Eagles didn't seem to have any answer to Messi. And like Coach Steven Keshi said, the team, the Super Eagles, seem to give too much respect to Argentina.
I see.
And I don't know whether it is history that has caused that, because dating back to Nigeria's appearance at the first appearance at the World Cup in 1994 up to this moment, every time the Super Eagles have met Argentina, Argentina had won.
Yes.
And perhaps that has given them this kind of fright, that when you are playing Argentina, it's such a big team. And then, you know, otherwise, with a break from Nigeria's winger, Ahmed Musa yesterday, and just with one more goal, it would have been a draw. But then the team just simply recoiled back to his shell.
I see.
And allowed Argentina to run away with victory.
Okay,
I think Messi made all the difference, if you ask me.
I see. Let's go back a little bit to the African teams. Surely, Sani and Segun, African teams that are participating have the talent. They have the brilliant players who play in the top league soccer in Europe and elsewhere. But why has the performance not been better than it ought to be? Is it lack of conditioning? Is lack of discipline? Is it lack of preparation? Let me begin with Segun there over there.
Yes, Douglas, thank you very much for bringing this point up. I've been thinking about this myself. As far back as 1986, at the World Cup in Mexico, Morocco reached the second round of the World Cup. And then in 1990, Cameroon became became the first African country to get to the quarterfinals. And almost, how many years later, if my mathematics is correct, about 18 years later, that's dating back to 1990 World Cup, or 28 years later, after the 1986 World Cup in Mexico, we are here trying to celebrate African nations getting to the second round, not even the quarterfinals now, trying to see how many African nations can make it to the second round. And that is a reason for celebration. Something is definitely wrong. The performance has gone down. And what is it? It is a thing that a lot of African football officials will have to debate in the years to come. But I will tell you that, like you said, there are a lot of talents right here in Africa who are playing locally and who are playing in the foreign leagues. So what I think we'll probably have to do, if you ask me, will be that the local league, the African league, the standard is exceptionally low. They will have to revive the league and make sure that they are up to standard. That is number one. Then number two, which is an issue that is very important here, is that the issue of discipline among African players. African players are among the best in the world. They play in the top league. But when they come to play for national team, something happens and they just show a different side of themselves, which we have seen at this World Cup. Whether it's Alex Song playing for Cameroon at this World Cup, elbowing a player who was not even with the ball, or as we are Kotu and Mukanju quarreling off the ball for no just reason. And now today, two players from Ghana have been asked to leave the camp. Their World Cup is over. Why? Because of indiscipline. And so these are the issues I've been thinking about. That the issue of how to pull the talent in Africa, the issue of how to ensure discipline among the players. And I don't have all the answers. And this is an issue that everybody will have to chip in. But the truth is that Africa's performance at the World Cup has fallen.
Yes.
And there is nothing to celebrate today except an African team can go beyond the quarterfinals, which we achieved in 1990 in Italy. We should not be celebrating an African team getting to the second round, which we achieved in 1986 in Mexico. That is the point I'd like to make.
Segun brought up that infamous play involving Alex Song for Cameroon in the match against Croatia. Really stands out, Douglas, as a real sign of Cameroon's lack of team spirit, lack of team unity. Then you had two players that Segun mentioned headbutting each other. And, you know, in terms of Africa's participation in Brazil, Cameroon has to rate as the biggest disappointment. And I've had friends tell me they're the biggest embarrassment
the
for
worst
Africa.
Team, worst African team.
At this World Cup. I mean, if we look at their performance strictly in terms of wins and losses, Douglas, they lost all three of their matches in Brazil. 4 years ago, they lost all three of their matches in South Africa. Cameroon football has really sunk to some very low depths right now.
Yeah, and let's hope the federations have something to. Segun mentioned the camp, the turmoil in the Ghanaian camp, and as we talk, Ghana is trailing 2-1 now. But the two senior players of the Ghanaian team misbehaving and being sent out of camp. What does that show to the upcoming stars, players on the African continent, Stanley?
You know, one of the scenarios and the two players who were suspended, Sully Muntari and Kevin Prince Boateng, just prior to the match against Portugal, apparently Boateng, according to reports, clashed verbally with James Kwesi Appiah, the head coach of Ghana. Verbally, I don't know what he said exactly, but it was strong enough words that they decided to suspend him. I wonder if he would have said the same thing, Douglas, if a European coach was in charge of Ghana. And on that note, I want to give a shout out for Stephen Keshi of Nigeria. He is the first African coach to take an African team into the second round at a World Cup. Ghana also led by an African coach. Just at a fundamental level, there's some disrespect going on there when you talk to your head coach like that.
Yeah, Segun, briefly before I go for a short break, the coaching staff. Why do African teams tend to respect coaches coming from elsewhere? They don't respect African coaches. Not even their federation don't give them enough support or pay them well enough.
I really don't understand that. I think it's because these guys have gone to play professionally in big clubs abroad. And, of course, they've gotten fame and fortune and everything. And so they come back to Africa and look down on their coaches and every other fellow, thinking they are such big stars on the world stage. There is no other reason why. Sonny made a very important point, you know, that if there had been a European coach, would Boateng, would he have insulted him the way he did to Kwesi Appiah? The answer is no. And so we'll get back to this when you come back from the break. It means that the football associations in Africa would love to do exactly what Ghana Football Association did today. I will hold on until you come back from the break.
Sure enough. And now let's take a short break. We'll be back to continue our discussion of what else? The ongoing World Cup, Brazil 2014.
Put your flags up in the sky. And wave them side to side.
Yes, welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight is Brazil 2014, the World Cup. Our panelists are my colleagues, Sunny Young, host of the Sunny Side of Sports, and Shegun on the Dota DMA, VOA's Nightline Africa sports correspondent in Lagos. And I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, here in Studio 9 in Washington. Gentlemen, before we went for that short break, we're talking about the issue of discipline on the African players. I want to give you a chance to have a final thought. Then we move on to some unruly world-class stars, people like Suarez, who is now known for, as most part joking, as the biggest biter in the world. So take it away, Sunny first.
Yeah, I was saddened that Ghana's team was caught up in this turmoil ahead of such a crucial match. And yet, I was in France in 98, just prior to Nigeria playing Denmark in the round of 16, and the Nigerian team was caught up in turmoil. They were arguing over bonuses, and they ended up losing to Denmark 4-1. I think Shegun talks about discipline. I think you have to have overall team discipline already in place in terms of bonuses, payments, respective coaches, everything when it comes time for the World Cup. I mean, if you're like Cameroon and you're holding a country and a federation ransom before you even step on the plane for Brazil, it's not good.
It's not good. Shegun?
It's not. Yes, thank you, Douglas. I was going to say that I want to give a shout-out to GFA, the Ghana Football Association, the way it has handled the issue of Boateng and Muntari today. It's quite impressive. Even though Ghana had a very important match to play, and which they are playing now, and which they might very well lose the match and probably get out of the World Cup, GFA realized that it had to discipline these players and get them out of the World Cup so that Ghana can hold its head high. I think this is good. Compare this to what happened in Cameroon after Alexon bagged that red card and Atsuya Kutu and Mukanju engaged in their headbutting. The Cameroon Football Association said they will investigate this matter and then discipline them when they come back. When the same, all these players should have been asked to leave camp, if only to make a point that African football associations, African teams would not condone indiscipline by any player, no matter his status. I just want to make that a difference and to congratulate Ghana Football Association for the prompt discipline it meted out to Boateng and Muntari today.
I see. You have a word to throw in there about the stars, the top World Cup stars like Suarez biting.
In terms of Suarez's penalty, which was announced on Thursday, 4-month ban, and it also covers 9 international matches, so he won't play on Saturday in Uruguay's match in the round of 16. I actually thought he might get a longer ban, Douglas, seeing how he has a history of these biting incidents. This was his third time. I mean, some people call him, the vampire Suarez and other not-so-nice nicknames.
Yeah.
And I know he's not really held in high esteem in Africa.
Not anymore. Yeah, now gentlemen, two of the today's matches are about to come to an end. But before we give out the results, the round of 16 is going to be a tough one, too.
I would love to hear Shegun's thoughts on Nigeria's next opponent, Douglas, which will be the French.
Yes.
I like Nigeria's chances in that match. What do you think, Shegun?
Sonny, thank you very much for that positive the general feeling I like here in Lagos and in Nigeria is that these Super Eagles can actually beat the French team. That is the general feeling. They have watched the French players play. I think they are the top attacking team in this World Cup. That's the truth. And the number of goals they've scored. However, they believe that the Super Eagles, they have what it takes to beat this French team. Because the team, after starting off on a wobbly note, seemed to have found its rhythm, going by what happened against Argentina on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And with what most fans saw the team, the kind of style and the kind of seriousness they displayed yesterday, that's Wednesday, I think many believe that Nigeria has a very good chance against the French team, and that Nigeria will beat the French team and move and advance to the quarterfinals for the very first time in the history of his participation in the FIFA World Cup.
Yes. Sunny, Algeria is still in there. He'll be playing later tonight.
The Desert Foxes from Algeria have definitely been one of Africa's nice stories at this World Cup. I think if they beat Russia later on Thursday, they will be joining the Super Eagles of Nigeria in the round of 16. A draw might be enough against the Russians to get them through to the next round. So, go Desert Foxes. I know they're led by Bosnian coach Hali Hadzic.
Yeah.
And he really seems to have that team fired up at Brazil 2014.
And if they pass that one, then the next stage, they meet the winner between...
It looks like they might possibly play, and maybe we should give an update on the scores, Douglas. They might possibly play the United States in the round of 16. Why don't you give the
exactly the Ghana Portugal match has ended. Ghana has lost 2-1, and that means Ghana is effectively out of the World Cup 2014. It's very unfortunate for Africa. And it appears now U.S. has to qualify regardless of the results now because they had one down, but with Ghana now losing 2-1, U.S. qualifies. So, Sunday, most likely, Algeria will face the U.S.
Yeah, I think if the results hold, I think they will play the Desert Foxes in the next round. Great matchup. the Americans... played Algeria, I think, in 2010 in South Africa, and I remember Landon Donovan scoring a late goal to give the Americans victory. I want to give a shout out for the one black star in particular, Douglas Asamoah John. He scored for Ghana this evening against Portugal. He is now Africa's all-time leading goal scorer at the World Cup. I think he broke the record previously held by Roger Miller. From Cameroon.
And now the match between the U.S. and Germany has ended. It's a 2-1 win in favor of Germany. But all the same, as I said, the U.S. qualifies. Shegu, now we've got a clear picture. Two matches left in this first round. Any comment on the Ghana losing and the U.S. qualifying on despite losing to Germany?
Well, I'm quite impressed with the United States team. Let me start from there. Starting from the match against Ghana, this U.S. team seems unstoppable. It lost to Germany in this match, but the team has still qualified and now may even meet an African team again after what happened between the United States and Ghana. I am looking forward to that match. It will be very interesting to see if Algeria, if it qualifies, will be able to avenge Ghana's defeat in the very first round.
Sunny has been wind up. I know what you want to say something, but say what you want to say. And on top of that, tell me what was the surprise team of the tournament so far.
Let's run down. Two of the surprise teams are going to play each other on Sunday, Douglas. Costa Rica and Greece.
Yes.
The Greeks eliminated Ivory Coast in somewhat controversial fashion. They got a penalty kick at the very end of that match. Personally, I thought it was not a penalty, but I've been told by others.
I thought otherwise.
But Ivory Coast was eliminated by the Greeks. Los Ticos from Costa Rica, they were one of the biggest underdogs at the start of this World Cup. They have made it to the round of 16, so they play the Greeks. Let's quickly look at the other round of 16 matches, Douglas. Saturday, Brazil, probably the big favorite at this World Cup, plays Chile. I think that's going to be a tough match for the Brazilians.
True. And being the and me, I was impressed by Iran of all teams, despite not doing well, but it tried its best. Shegu, let me give you a chance. Your surprise team.
My surprise team in this World Cup so far, I must tell you, it is Iran. Iran, because I never imagined that Iran would play a goalless with Nigeria.
That's right.
And then I'm looking at the FIFA website. They are the top team listed when it comes to defense. They are leading among the team that could defend best. And that says a lot about what they've been able to do to so many teams. It's my surprise team of the tournament.
I see. Senegal, before the tournament began, there were worries. Briefly, we're running out of time. There were worries about the Brazil capability or readiness to host this tournament. But things seem to have worked well so far, despite the few problems at the beginning.
Yeah, I think the fans have been swept up in the fervor and the spirit of the World Cup. And it always helps when the host country is winning, Douglas.
Yes.
And Brazil is... You know, they're into the round of 16. I don't think they've played their best football yet. But, you know, maybe we'll see that on Saturday against Chile. But I think, the protests have been more muted now, now that we're really into the heart of this tournament.
Segun, winding up, general feeling on the continent there. People, I know I've been, the continent when it's World Cup time. How is it this time?
This time, generally, Africans are hoping, they've been hoping that their teams will do better than they've done in past World Cups. Right now, we have only one team through to the second round. And we are hoping that Algeria will join Nigeria in the second round. And then, right now, three African teams have gone home. The viewership and followership in Africa, according to a survey by FAM, has shown that more and more Africans have been watching the football in very huge numbers. Football is a very, very important. It's the number one sport in Africa. It's number two. It's also the number three. That's to tell you how important football is.
I see.
And it's been a very good tournament so far for Africa minus the African teams that have left, despite all the hopes placed on them. But if Algeria makes it to the second round with Nigeria, that would keep the Africans watching the remaining part of the tournament.
I see. Sane, I've watched the last three World Cups here in the U.S., this one, I must say, is different. The more viewership, as Segun says, for Africa, same thing has happened here.
I agree, Douglas. Record ratings of the matches. And, I'm seeing so many American fans in Brazil. I think next to the Brazilians and maybe Argentine fans, that the American fans are down in Brazil in record numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think this has been a very popular tournament.
One word. Who's your favorite to win the World Cup, Sonny?
I would love to see a final between Neymar and Messi.
I see.
Brazil versus Argentina.
How about you, Segun?
I like to see Super Eagles of Nigeria win it, but it's looking like Brazil this time.
Okay. I will not make a prediction. let the best soccer team win. All right, gentlemen, that's all the time we have for this edition of the Reporters Roundtable. Many thanks to my colleagues, Sunny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports and Segun Underdot at DMA of VOA's Nightline Africa Sports. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Douglas. I enjoyed it.
Yes, and many thanks.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome. Our engineer tonight, as usual, was the very capable Michael Dubinsky. We're back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks for tuning in. And until next week, I'm Douglas Impoga in Washington, wishing you all the best.
There is no hope.